Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the final Big Brother 17 edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. And as always, today I'm joined to talk about some reality TV with some friends of mine. I'm joined by two great people, a dynamic duo. First, he's the CEO of the Injured Raccoon Society. They call him the Lord. It's Godfrey Manguiza, ladies and gentlemen. Godfrey, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, man. The raccoons are happy. They're healthy. I'm just living life, man. Enjoying the BB Camp finale, aftermath. Trying to find everybody on Twitter. It's going to be kind of hard.
All right, Godfrey. Glad to hear that you're enjoying things, my friend. Now, secondly, we can't forget about this lady. She's amazing. She's also a CEO. She's the CEO of Indulgence Truffles, a chocolate company. And she is so famous that Grumpy Cat once tweeted her. It's Dr. Neha Serene, ladies and gentlemen. Neha, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing excellent, and I'm very excited to have you guys back. We all three of us got together a little over 3 months ago to preview Big Brother 17. And now here we are. The summer's over. My podcast has a name. You guys are here. We're coming full circle. We're winding things down. It's going to be a really fun conversation. We're going to be talking about Big Brother 17. So I'm super excited to have you guys here. Thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight on live on Periscope. If you guys want to send us some questions, don't forget to do so. We'll check those later in the show. You can tweet us using the hashtag RHAP. Okay, guys, very fun finale night. I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you guys. You guys were at the Shaw studio, I guess, last night doing the house guest hangout with some other house guests. I was at home watching with my mom and dad because I'm very cool like that. And I really enjoyed this finale. I really liked this season, and I didn't really get too much of a chance to talk to you guys about this season as a whole. But before we get into that, let's not bury the lead here. Steve Moses, baby. He's the winner of Big Brother 17, and we've got a diehard super fan winning this game again, just like Ian Terry. It's amazing. I am so happy because I feel like this kid is my cousin, and I can relate to Steve so much, and I'm so proud of him for coming out on top. Godfrey Manguiza, my friend, you picked Steve Moses from day one. We have this.
I'm telling you, man.
You had this. You had it on, and I was listening back to the podcast we did just before we got into this. And probably the best, you know, the call of the season was Neha saying that Austin was going to be a strategic mastermind and run on.
Hey, he was charismatic. I don't know what happened.
In his own head, he was a mastermind, but in the Imaginarium.
Yes, yeah. The Imaginarium. But second was Godfrey calling Steve Moses. And Godfrey, you said that everybody was going to sleep on Steve. You took him second overall.
You told us.
And not only did you take him second overall in our draft, you took him in our Big Brother Canada 3 collective draft with the entire cast of our season. I think you snagged Steve at like the sixth pick or the seventh pick. So you got Godfrey, nicely done, my friend. The philosopher, the professor, the godfather, getting it done.
I might just open a psychic shop after this, man.
For real.
See, like I'm 100% of my predictions have come true. So I've only predicted one show, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go, Godfrey. One for one. Nothing wrong with that, right?
So, man, there's just something about Steve that, like, you know, just listening to his interview, I could tell just like his persona, his look. I'm like, man, if I had this kid in the house, I probably wouldn't want to vote him out until the final three. You know, he just looks so unthreatening, socially awkward, that he was just a recipe for, like, you know, final two.
Yeah, and it's a really great point. I'm surprised that people didn't really take him seriously, but I think the fact that he was so awkward and just terrible socially early on, I really do think that kind of made people think, I guess he's kind of smart, but is he really going to convince anyone of anything?
And they were kind of scared at first, though. They're like, this guy looks like Ian Terry, we got to get him out. But then things calmed down. And I was like, man, you know, like, Steve just dodged a bullet. Just chill out now. Play cool.
No, absolutely. Neha, what do you think about Steve? And are you surprised that the little engine that could made it all from Governor New York, made it all the way from little 22-year-old virgin boy to now $500,000 winner of Big Brother 17?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really happy about it, but I swear, like, initially, like, we were thinking Ian Terry, and, like, Ian Terry was just as awkward as Steve was, and, you know, you look at these, like, nerdy characters, and they should scare you. Like, Jordan, you were scary. Like, you think of the Peter Browns, the Ians, and, you know, he fell into that category, and I'm surprised that people didn't, like, catch on to him earlier, but I think there was too much, like, back and forth between the groups that he was just in the middle, so he got lucky, I think. But I would have, you know, he would have been in my radar for sure.
Interesting that you bring that up. Yeah, well, I mean, clearly I was the nerdy guy on Big Brother, on your season of Big Brother, was on people's radars, and we all know what happened there. But no, I'm just so pumped, and I'm so glad that Steve won this season. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Now, before we're going to move on quickly here, but I just want to remind people, if you tuned in to the first ever edition, before we even had a podcast name, we did this podcast, we did this draft, and we said that, or I said that the winner of our draft between the three of us would have the right to tweet anything they wanted from my
Oh, no way. I had almost forgotten about that.
So, Godfrey, my friend, you have the rest of this podcast to determine who or what you want me to tweet out, and I will do it live via Periscope at the end of this podcast. So start thinking, and Periscope, Twitter, you guys send us your ideas. If you think that there's something that Godfrey
should tweet from
my account, then by all means, send it our way, and Godfrey will – I will tweet it at – I'll be – because Godfrey wants me to do it at the end of this podcast, and it's going to be quite enjoyable, I think, for everyone. Maybe not so much for me, but I'm awesome. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great. All right. So first off, what did you guys think about them? Let's just talk about this season as a whole. What did you guys think about Big Brother 17? Were you really happy with how things went, Neha? Were you pumped up with seeing this season? Or do you think – and you think that we went on a high note? Are you glad with this? Or do you think that the fact that the best player of this season, the consensus best player of the season, Vanessa Russo, did not win, do you think that hurts the season as a whole, Neha?
No, I think it makes it better because, yeah, she was so deserving because she just played such a great job. But I feel like right before, like even before we the show started, she was like the shoo-in to win because you saw her as like, oh, the poker player, and she's very successful in poker. So, and the whole season, we were like, oh, she's running stuff. This girl's going to win the game. So the fact that it didn't turn out that way, I think that makes it so much better because it wasn't as predictable.
Godfrey, what do you think about that? I agree with you, Neha. You bring up some really good points there.
About, like, the best overall play or just the season
just,
in general?
Just the fact that the season in general, now that we know that probably the best player of the season didn't necessarily win it.
Well, first of all, like, I think the best player did win it. And Steve, hands down, I think he just played a clean game. Even had he not won the final HOH, I'm pretty sure Vanessa still would have probably taken him, and he still would have had a good chance. So, like, you know, I think that, like, above all, Vanessa had the hype, but if you really break down their game, see who took the most risks, and see, given, let's pretend the season happens all over again with new people, who has a better chance of going far again? Like, I really think, like, Steve, I have a lot of respect for his game. And as Neha said, it was pretty unpredictable at times, you know? Because who would have thought the final four would be the people who ended up there? So, like, I think that's the story of this season right now. Just, like, a whole lot of surprises going on. The BB takeover coming and disappearing, and yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye, BB takeover. Like, what the hell happened to that?
I mean, yeah, it just crazy? Disappeared.
Yeah, but I think it's good that disappeared because if we were to see this production interference every week, and if we were to see, the Gronk cruise and, 90s week, that kind of stuff didn't really mess with the game too much. But I think that if they would have put stuff in there, I think that the idea behind the BB takeover initially was, hey, we can kind of, mold this season or do what we want. We can make some crazy twists if things are getting stale. But things never got stale, so they didn't necessarily need to do that. So I think that it was actually a really good thing. Oh, absolutely. Now, Neha, what did you think about what Godfrey just said before the BB takeover discussion? Do you agree with him? Do you think that Steve was the best player on the season, or do you think that it was Vanessa, or do you think it was someone else?
I think he was definitely up there with Vanessa, to be honest. I think they're both playing a really damn good game. Because I guess she made a lot of enemies, with just her actions and what she did, and where he was a little more low-key. But the thing is that if he was against her in the final two, I don't know. Because the problem is that sometimes, and Godfrey, I'm sure, you've experienced this, but people don't appreciate or they don't really understand jury members, perhaps, a low-key game. They might not recognize it. And then maybe when they go home after and they watch the season, they might recognize it. So that person in that time might not get the credit they deserve.
Interesting that you bring that up. Now, yeah, I was thinking of one particular player this season that his game really kind of was in the mold of you, Godfrey, the Godfather, and that's Johnny Mack, the Rockstar Dentist. Now, when Neha picked Johnny Mack in the draft we did at the beginning of the season, I said, "Are you really? Can a guy that calls himself Johnny Mack, the Rockstar Dentist, be a phenomenal Big Brother player?" And it was one of my many calls that I got terribly wrong. Johnny Mack did an excellent job. But of everybody on this season, Godfrey, I think that he played up he followed the lone wolf strategy the best, similar to what you did. Do you think that if Johnny Mack would have gotten to the final two, he would have had a chance to win? Or do you think that he would have been in a similar spot to you in that people just didn't see because he didn't necessarily have the competition resume, that people would just be like, oh, well, he didn't win the comp, so I guess we can't really vote for him?
Yeah, to be honest, with Johnny Mack, he was in my pool, like you said, for who I thought was going to win. Absolutely. Him and Steve, I think that, Johnny Mack really resembles me more so, just, his quirkiness. He doesn't take himself seriously, and he really understands how people perceive him, and he plays onto that with a laugh. As soon as he does that laugh, everybody's guard just goes down. They're like, oh, Johnny Mack, we don't got to worry about him. As far as him winning the game, though, to be honest, before he got voted out, I thought he had a really good chance of winning. I was predicting a final two, Steve and Johnny Mack. But when he got voted out and came back in, that dynamic, it really changes a lot. Because when you go to final two, some people might not respect the fact that, you were voted out and had to come back in, Obviously, in Big Brother Canada 1, that was not the case. People still voted for Gary, minus the topaz. but you just never know, because I think myself, if I was a juror and I'm seeing somebody who had a second chance versus somebody like Vanessa who played the game the entire time, or even Liz, despite her going outside of the house and switching it with a twin, it's kind of iffy. I'm like, should I really give Johnny Mack? He has to have done something spectacular in order to win, And I don't think he was able to do that.
That's a really good point. I agree with you. And I think that for me personally, it would be very tough to vote for somebody at the end of the game that was voted out already. Neha, what do you think about that idea? Do you think that we're in a spot in Big Brother? And we really are. We've seen lately, Big Brother 15, Big Brother 16, Big Brother 17, Big Brother Canada 1, Big Brother Canada 3. We've all seen in those seasons somebody come back into the house. Do you think that a person coming back into the game does not deserve to win because you, quote, as the great Emmett Bloys once said, you only get one life in the Big Brother game? Or do you think that we should be more open to this idea now?
I don't agree at all. I think that, can you guys hear me properly?
Yes,
we can. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I think that if a person has the ability to be voted out and then come back and make it to the end, you're going through hell and back. And, like, you must be doing something real damn good if you're able to make it to the end. Like, think about our season. Like, you guys targeted Cindy, like, right away. But she was... Oh, I don't want to say that. But, like, if you're really, really great... Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Wait, say what, Neha? Say what?
If you're a really good player, you're going to be able to make it too far. And then you should be credited for that.
Absolutely.
You're right, Neha. Like, if you do something really good, like in Cindy's case, like even flipping the house, and if she had made it to the end and done some spectacular moves, then by all means, you should win, you know? But you would have to make up for that vote.
But to have the ability to come back, you'd have a target on your back, and then to have the ability to mix again, I think that is, like, huge. And I don't care whoever, like, Emmett and Bobby, you only have one life in Big Brother. I don't think so. Big Brother makes the damn rules. They brought the person back, so therefore you have two lives in Big Brother.
Yep, it's part of the rules.
There you go.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm starting to become more open to this idea. I mean, at first I was just so like, no, that person can't win. But I mean, we keep seeing it over and over again. And yeah, if they get to the end, it's a very impressive feat. Now, Neha, did you just imply that Cindy was not the best player on our season, though? I mean, are you serious? Are you out of your mind, Neha?
Hey, I didn't imply it. I'm saying it right now.
Is that really a question, JP?
No, but Godfrey, she said it on the show in the jury house. She said, I was the best player on this season.
Come on.
She did, yeah. Check the tapes.
Paul Judd was the best player of his season.
I think she is. She's the best player in our season, no? No?
Man, I think you're a little biased here, JP, because I know you guys got history with Cindy. We're trying to look at it from an objective point of view.
Godfrey, Jordan's being sarcastic.
Yeah, like I'm
sorry. Like his voice.
Oh, man, I love you guys. Oh, so good. All right, no, that's interesting. I really wanted to get your take on that, Godfrey, because as I was watching, and you too, Neha, but I, specifically Godfrey, Johnny Mac really reminded me of you, because here is this guy who doesn't really fit any casting archetype. He's kind of his own person. Like, we've never seen that kind of person on Big Brother before. And then secondly, he takes this lone wolf approach. Neha, do you think that what Godfrey did, are we in a new era where you can't win doing what Godfrey and Johnny Mac did? Is that done? Are we done seeing the Dr. Wills of the world winning anymore? Do you have to have some competition wins in order to win this game now?
Well, that's some bullshit if that's the case. I feel like Godfrey, my man, was like a damn Dr. Will. And I feel like it's so unfortunate that it's come to the point where you're going to be like, hey, yeah, like I won like 3 vetoes and whatever, and this is what makes me a winner. No, I don't think so. I think like being able to use your mental abilities to get yourself out of situations, if Godfrey said, hey, throwing the comps is the way I can get to the end, then that's it. Like, I don't think comp wins means everything at all. I wish that people like Godfrey and, you know, Johnny Mac or whatever got a little more credit, to be honest.
Oh, well, I don't know how Johnny Mac, it's going to be interesting. It's still a little soon. I think Johnny Mac probably, I agree with you. He probably will not get enough credit that he should. He won't get the credit that he does deserve. Godfrey, I think, does get the credit he deserves. Although, again, Godfrey probably deserves even more credit because his game is so phenomenal.
But
I think that Johnny Mac really did an excellent job, and I would love to see him come back on a second time around playing this game. What do you guys, who do you guys think?
Oh, absolutely.
If any of these people comes back, who do you think has the best shot? And I'm talking about everybody on this cast. Steve has said, let's not include Steve, because Steve has won, and Steve has said in his interviews that he doesn't know if he ever wants to play again. Who knows? That could change. But for now, I think that we'll just not include Steve here. So of the other, 16, because we're going to count Julia, of the other 16 people, which one of them do you think would have the best chance to win this game on a second go-around, Godfrey?
If it was a second go, like, I honestly think, man, this is a tough one, man.
Nate?
I really think Johnny Mac or Julia would have a good chance. because I feel like they're the closest game that could kind of resemble what Steve did. I think Julia, because, like, you know, she didn't take a lot of initiative right away, and she was really smart to let her sister get all the dirty work on her hands and all of that. So I even think it might be between Julia and... I think it's got Johnny Mac, man. You're like, I don't really like this guy after what he did on finale night. I'm like, well, dude, how are you going to throw shade at your boy Steve, man? Johnny Mac, come on.
Well, so that's interesting, Godfrey, now that you bring that
like,
up.
What was that? What did you think about that, well, JP? Weren't you shocked? I think he's going to campaign hard, and he comes into jury, he's like, Steve, look at that guy. He didn't do anything.
Well, I think we have a new MVP for Johnny Mac impressions by Godfrey Manguiza. That was Godfrey. But
I'm still trying to get the laugh right.
Yeah, I got to work on that laugh. But yeah, I was a little surprised. But you know what? I think part of Johnny Mac is it's a shtick. We saw that with Julie Chen this season. Him going in the room saying, "What do you want?" Or hey, Wendy. Like he saying stuff. Yeah. And I think he loves Steve. I think he probably was a little bit jealous.
Friendly, yeah.
So I hear you. I think that maybe if it was me or if I was Steve and I saw that watching that after, I'd probably be like, "Hey, Johnny Mac, what the hell? Like we were best friends." So I agree with you, but I think that was more him trying to make good TV. Neha, what did you think about that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe Johnny Mac actually was so much of a lone ranger that for him it was just like whatever. Like, you know what? Like maybe he wasn't really his best friend. Maybe he was all by himself, and that's how when he came out, he was like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. Now, what do you think about Godfrey saying that Julia has the best chance to win this game on a second go round? Is the philosopher, the great philosopher, Godfrey Manguiza, has he gone insane, dude? Or
Think about it, man.
You know what? I don't think he has gone insane because if you think about it, like, or it could be anyone. Like, it could be friggin' Vanessa because, like, you would think that there's certain people that would go into the game and be a solid target and then they somehow end up making it to the end. Like, people like, you know, like Zach, like, how the hell did he make it so far? He should have gone in, like, the first couple of weeks, but you never know. This game has changed so much. It's not old school Big Brother anymore. Anything can happen.
Maybe, I'll tell you right now, like, I'll never forget. Like Neha told me, like this theory, which I think is actually correct.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like this new age of Big Brother, we're seeing the weaker players make it way farther in the game because all the strong players have this mentality that let's go after each other and let's beat these weak guys. You know, oh, we'll get them next week. Kind of like in my season, and I'm not even embarrassed to say it. Like I was a weaker player. I played on that card. And people overlooked me because of that, because they were like, we can deal with them next week. So I think if the game continues to go that way, we're going to continue to see people like Steve and Johnny Mac, who initially you're like, oh, this guy's soft. And they end up going farther. And that's kind of my rationale for picking Julia, because I know she's going to be seen as, oh, like, you know, she's weak. Your sister did everything for you. You have no game. So, like, yeah, like, I really think that given the trend, she has the highest odds of making it farther, as opposed to somebody with a backbone like, you know, James and Devon.
Yes. But Godfrey, what about, like, because for winning this game, you really think that Julia, if she went back in, could win another a season of Big Brother? Because to me, maybe I was watching a different show, but I just don't – I can't see Julia winning, Godfrey. I think that – like, what is going on? She's talking about Sigmund and Freud and,
I remember that.
Yeah, and you're a psychology student, so
did you watch that, Mia?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. For sure.
I was like, how do you not know Sigmund Freud? She thought it was like some serial. I'm like, this guy is a freaking philosopher, man.
But you stand behind that. You guys both think, Neha, you think so too. You think Julia could actually win the season?
You know what? I'm telling you, dude. And I think, JP, we've had this conversation. Like, Big Brother needs, these Big Brother players need to, they need to adopt the survivor mentality. And they don't, because the thing is we're survivor. They take out the weak first. And that's what Godfrey's talking about, because me and Godfrey had in-depth conversation about this too. These players, what they need to do now, I think, and Big Brother Canada 4 players, like, this is a theory, and maybe you should try it next season and give us some entertainment. But take out the damn weak players first and let the stronger players last, because they'll be a shield in front of you. And that's why I really like Bruno's game, because Bruno kind of adopted that mentality where he was like, shit, I need a bigger guy in front of me, so that person will go before me. Because if you align yourself with people, not saying that people are weak, but people who appear to be weak, whether it be they appear to be weak mentally or physically, then that person will go further than you in the end. You know what I mean?
They will go farther than you, way farther.
Yeah, like, if you keep someone, like, crazy in the game, like a Greg, or, like, someone who's, like, obviously, like, smart, like me, I don't know, then maybe, like, me or Greg would go in the game before you would go. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear exactly what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, because when I went through casting, this was my strategic pitch to the producers, was this was what I wanted to do. Now, once you get in the house, you just throw everything out the window. But I do agree with that 100%. I just think that Julia is not the said person from this season to implement that strategy, if that makes sense, on a second go around. I think it's Johnny Mack. I really do think that when this guy goes back, people like Godfrey, I think people are going to be like, hey, like, what, this guy, oh, he's weak, whatever. I mean, he's alone. Well, he's by himself. We can worry about him later. He's funny. We like him. He's charismatic. We'll just keep him around. We'll get rid of him down the road. But I do think that he's the kind of guy who is a super fan. This is a guy who went the entire season without saying anything about how big of a fan he was of this show. He watched our season of Big Brother Canada. That's how big of a fan he is. And I think that he understands the game. Guy went through a dental school, very smart dude, and I think that on a second go-around, he could do very well. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when Big Brother 20's on and Julia's on the season and she wins,
I absolutely agree with you, man. Johnny Mack, I think he definitely could potentially win the game if he had a chance to go back in.
And I'm praying he does, because I'm in love with him.
You know what, Neha? I think your prayers will be answered. And let's see. Today it's September 24th, 2015. Okay. If Johnny Mack is not back in the Big Brother house by September 24th, 2018. Neha, I will be your personal slave for 1 week, okay? So let's remember this.
So I am writing this down. No turning back.
Yeah, no turning back. So 2018, by this time 2018, Johnny Mack will be on our TV screens again playing Big Brother. Lock it in. I think it's going to happen, just because everybody loves the guy. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's entertaining.
Honestly,
so
yeah, dude,
he's a guy I think we'll definitely see again. And I think that he's one of the few people on this season that needs to worry about potentially coming back. There's so many. That's the problem with this season. There were so many good characters, but you can't put all of them on one all-star season. That's really the tough part. Neha, if you had to pick three people, and I've pitched this question to several people. The season's over now. We know the results. Steve's won. If you could pick three people to go back on a season, who would you want to see and why?
From this season?
From this season.
Oh, okay. So, well, for sure, 100%, I want Johnny Mack. Like, when I said I'm in love with him, I'm actually in love with him. So that's one reason. Two, I think he's absolutely so entertaining, and I think he's very, very intelligent, and I loved his game. I just loved him. Two, I want to see – who do I want to see? I want to see Devon again, and I know people can talk some shit because I said that, but she was smart, she was sassy, she was good TV, and I like to see some damn good TV. And three, I want to see Audrey again. I know she kind of lost her mind in the house, but you know what? Those are the kind of people that we want to see on TV. We want to see people that are going to ruffle feathers and they're going to give us some entertainment. Because at the end of the day, we're watching a production, we're watching a television show, and you know, you want to see that kind of drama and excitement, and I think that those are the three players that will bring it to us.
Yeah, and call me crazy, but I think Audrey actually could do well on a second season, because 100%. I think a lot of people, again, one of these people that would be completely written off when Audrey actually showed some chops for the game strategically. The problem was she was approaching it as if it was an online reality game. She's playing an ORG. She's trying to win the whole thing in a week, and that just doesn't work. If she were just able to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit, I think she could do okay. And I agree with those picks 100% as well. Mama Day is phenomenal television.
Unreal.
We saw last night her grilling Austin about
that was
hilarious. Davon is great. I love Davon so much. Godfrey, same question to you, my friend. Who would you want to see and why? And maybe let's go with three other people besides.
Oh yeah, for sure. Besides those two. Yeah, she picked my favorites right there. Like, honestly, I'd say I want to see Vanessa come back, man, because for the reason that even though I wasn't really, like, a huge fan of the gameplay, and I was man, I do not think she was the best player in the game. No doubt, the most entertaining. Like, she was what you call a highlight reel player. The thing she was doing was unheard of. Like, she was doing things we've never seen in Big Brother. Mind controlling people, convincing them to throw beetles that they know they should not be throwing at all. She convinced Liz to throw the final HOH. Like, who has special powers like that? Seriously, the last time I saw that was when Dan Geesling convinced Ian to throw the first half of the HOH competition. And I thought that would never happen again. I'm like, people have learned now. But Vanessa, just for the simple fact that, like, you know, she's done things we just haven't seen before, so I want to see her come back.
And beyond Vanessa, Godfrey, any others, or is she just going to leave it at Vanessa? Is Vanessa the only one beyond those guys you'd want to see?
I want to see Vanessa, and I also want to see Austin.
Why Austin, Godfrey?
Preferably with his beard shaved this time around, but I want to see Austin because I think his Judas character... Like, we didn't really get to see much of it. Like, Devon, when she called him out, she's like, dude, you even had a hat. You were saying you have an alter ego. And it turns out your alter ego is actually nicer and more honest than you. I'm like, dude, like, seriously. So I want to see Austin come back. And this time around, I want him to be in no-show, man. I want to see some cutthroat gameplay from him. Because I think he has the potential to do it. And he just got kind of blinded by love.
Yeah.
And then the third person I want to see is... Train girl Becky. Basic Becky.
Why Becky, Godfrey? Why the Becky pick? Andy Heron's favorite.
I'm just saying, yo, Becky, like, Becky won my heart when she got HOH. And we just saw a ruthless side of Becky we'd never seen before. She's, like, calling people out, looking people straight in the face, lying to them. She's, like, pretending to be Shelly's best friend. And, like, you know, I really think that if she had way more time in the game, Becky could have been Vanessa 2.0 with less emotion. Like, I just wish she had the strategy part locked down.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, that's a very interesting take on that. I completely disagree with Becky, but I do, like, in that she could be like Vanessa. I do think Becky had some potential, but I think Vanessa is just on a whole nother level. Now, Godfrey, I don't know if you've heard this, but Becky was recruited to be on the show via Tinder. Would you think that we should start trying to scout for BB Can 4 by going on Tinder? Do you think that would work?
That's actually a pretty interesting Tinder.
Oh my god!
Based on, like, the photos, or
I think so. I think that's how it happened. I think you and Greg could be the masters of the Tinder. You guys could be looking through it. You find some girls, and then when you see them, you just email Robin Cass and be like, "Hey, I found this girl, y'all. She lives in North York. She's great.
I'm gonna just take them out on dates first, you know, just to see if they're legit." You know, I don't want to send people who are not ready, so, like, you know, just do that. All for the show.
Godfrey, do you use Tinder?
To be honest, here's my story with Tinder, man. Like, I got this app I'm like amped up. I've been hearing great things about it. I even did my research. I went on Wikipedia, WikiHow to, and they're like, oh, this is how you get a lot of Tinder hits. Have a picture next to a horse. Like, I don't know who came up with that, but they're like, have any animal, but it should not be like a pet. It should be an exotic animal. And like, I went out and did all this stuff, man. I set up my Tinder. I put my biography on. And I set it up on the location 20 kilometers. Tell me how I only get like 3 women. Some of them, I don't even know if they were women. They could have been catfish for all I know, because I checked on their profile pictures and they only got 1 pic, which is kind of blurry. Looks photoshopped and edited, so I've just had bad experiences with Tinder.
Who are you?
I need to find love, but I really feel like Tinder is too much hype, and I'm actually interested in meeting somebody who's actually met their significant other off Tinder. Because I think it's one huge scam.
Well, no, Godfrey, now, first off, I'll get into that in a sec, but was this before Big Brother, or is this after Big Brother you went on Tinder?
No, this is before, man. You're like,
oh, okay. So after, no, you haven't used it. Okay, because now
I think I might have better luck this time around. Yeah, but who knows?
I think it would be different if you tried it this time around. But no, actually, fun story was that I remember Brittany telling me this in the house. Her brother met his fiance via Tinder. So there you go,
I
Godfrey.
Think that's right.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go, Godfrey. I don't know if it's a scam, yo.
What should I put on my bio, though? I gotta make it short and sweet, something to really grab their attention.
The lady, please, like, I think you got it.
I think that won't sound corny, you know, like, peekaboo, no thank you.
I think a good thing would just be go with the just one line and just say, I thought this was Christian Mingle, ? And just do that and see. I think that's kind of funny. No, clearly based on your reactions, it's not that funny. So maybe here, just put like, yeah, something to do with the lady, please. You got for you're hilarious. You could think of something. I mean, or just say CEO of the Injured Raccoon Society, and then they'll believe it, just like all of us did in the house. There we go. Okay. I don't know. Is God
in the Tinder account tonight?
You're making a Tinder tonight?
I'm making one tonight, man. Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh. All right. So let's off of Tinder, back to Big Brother 17. We'll get into your
questions. Got way off topic.
Yeah, we'll get into your questions in a little bit, guys. So keep those coming in via Twitter. Use #RHAP. Steve won this season. We were talking about early on how Steve is like Ian and all this kind of stuff. Do you think that Ian was better than Steve, or has Steve surpassed Ian? Neha, what do you think?
Oh, man. I now got to think back to freaking Ian's season. I liked Ian, and I thought he was great, and people might not be happy about this, but I still think that Dan should have won that season. But, yeah, I think they're both pretty damn good. I don't know. I think they're kind of equal, to be honest.
Godfrey, what do you think?
Me, like, honestly, as much as I love Steve, I really think Ian was, like, I think Ian was better, you know. Not by a lot, but I think he has a significant edge over Steve. Because think about it, during Ian's season, he had way more game control as opposed to Steve. And I feel like Ian, he established himself in legit alliances. He took out Boogie and turned his back on Will, like, you know, the crazy Will with the hair.
Not Dr.
Will. Turned his back, yeah, exactly, not Dr. Will. For those who didn't watch the season, Dr. Will was not in it. But yeah, like, I just feel like Ian had, he was more established in the game, whereas for Steve, it kind of took him a little while to get his foot in, and even when he was in alliances, he was never a priority in those alliances. He was kind of like, you know, the third man, the sixth man.
See,
whereas I just feel like Ian was more established, and he was in the game from the get-go, and he made, like, way bigger moves, and on top of that, the guy beat Dan. Like, that alone, you know, that gives somebody a lot more credibility, you know, as opposed to beating Liz, who didn't even have a final two speech. She was just, like, mumbling random things. So, yeah, I think Ian.
Ian, okay, interesting. Yeah, now, and it's funny earlier you were bringing up the Vanessa, the first time since Big Brother 14, Vanessa convinced Liz to throw that final. Dan did the same thing with Ian. And I think that it was just these interesting parallels. And the final three to me was very similar to Big Brother 14, in which we had the best player of the season, in my opinion, the strategist in Vanessa, the person, the older figure, and not old, but, you know, one of the 30 year old person in the house, kind of like, who's kind of on top of everything.
You hear that, old 30 year old woman?
You guys, I'm turning 30 this year, so you better watch your
mouth. Yeah, you know what,
hey, I thought you were the ladies' man.
Nah, man, that's Ginger Ninja, yo, not me. But I learned all my things about women from you, Godfrey, because you told me in the house. So much great advice. But
we got each other.
We got each other's back, man. Slap brothers. But this idea of, we had the 30-something strategist, we had the super young 20-something kid, and then the, you know, young early 20s the girl that was easily manipulated.
Yeah,
we had similar that we had that final three. But I think the thing that I really respect with Steve is that Steve, he had the awareness to cut Vanessa. Ian, I love Ian Terry.
Ian took a risk on that. Yeah, he did.
Ian, I mean,
and had he lost, we probably would be looking at him in a different way, going idiot, why did you take him? But it's only because he won that we kind of see it as, he knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, you actually, like, made me, like, rethink my answer here, yeah.
Because, yeah, if Ian lost that season, I think everyone would have been I guess Steve is better than Ian. Because, wow, why would Ian take Dan to the final two? So I think, you know, and I think it's very close. I think the difference between the two of them is marginal. Both of them were in large alliances. You know, you look at the Quack Pack for Ian, you have the Scamper Squad for Steve, you have a tight alliance. Dan had his fake Renegades thing with Ian. Vanessa had her Students of Sound alliance with Steve. So they had these various alliances going on. They were similar. They turned it on at the right times. They won the comps at the right times. I think they're very similar players.
And another thing on Steve's case, too, is that he was in trouble a lot more than Ian.
Yeah.
And he actually won a lot more comps than Ian. So right there, like, it's definitely, like, you know, a lot closer than I initially thought.
Yeah. So I think I might give the edge slightly to Ian, but I think that it's a lot closer than a lot of people are thinking, because I think that Steve really did a good job. He won at the right times, and he played a great game. I really do. I respect what he did. He did awesome work. Let's get into some of these questions, guys. We've got a lot of different questions on Twitter. Periscope, if you guys want to fire up some questions and send them our way, we will definitely check those out and answer some of those, hopefully along the way. So you can do that, or you can tweet us again. Let's check out the first question here. This one comes from Jordan Chong, at Jordan T. Chong on Twitter. And he says, hey guys, do you really care that the finale is live? Wouldn't you rather a longer jury question time cut into the best parts, similar to Survivor? Now, this is a really good point. And Big Brother 10 and before, this is the format that we saw for the jury. The jury of seven at the time would have one evening where they would speak to the jury. They would to the final two. They would ask questions to the final two. It would be edited down for the main show. And then on finale night, we would find out which one of those two people would win. We wouldn't have that final HOH occur the night that somebody gets crowned the winner of Big Brother and earning the $500,000. So, Neha, first, let's throw it to you. What do you think about that? Do you want to go back to the old format, or do you like the current format that we have now?
I like the old format, to be honest. I think that if we get to hear more of what the jury has to say, it would be, it'd give us some more insight on, you know, how they're feeling, what's going on. With those questions, it's all a rush. And you guys know, like, with our finale, like, it was such a rush, right? Like, and, like, the right questions might not come out. I think that we'll get a lot more insight if it's done the old way. And maybe what they should do is just, like, make the finale a 2-3 hour finale. I mean, we watched the damn show 3 times a week for 3 months. Like, give us an epic finale and let us see a little more, because we can't see it for another year, you know?
That's a really good point. I think that, yeah, I mean, people are so invested in Big Brother, they're going to watch it anyway, even if it 100%. Is 3 hours. So,
yeah,
I think the only downside to that is we might not get the Dr. Will jury segment, which is my favorite thing every single season. But Godfrey, let's throw it up to you, man. You were in the final two. You were on a, you know, in this situation where you basically had 3 minutes to convince a jury of 10 people to vote for you to win the game. And that didn't work because you didn't have enough time. Do you think that if you had more time, you would have been able to swing more votes? Oh, did we lose Godfrey? Godfrey?
Oh, shit.
Godfrey Manguiza. Oh, no, we lost
him. No, I'm still there. I was just here.
Napping.
Godfrey? No, I'm back. Get out of here. But yeah.
Okay, Godfrey. Godfrey.
But yeah, we're just cutting off a little bit. But yeah, if I understood your question.
You understood the question? No? Okay. Sorry, guys.
But yeah.
Technically,
yeah, if I had more time, would it be a bit easier?
Yes.
Is that the question? Okay, so definitely, man.
Oh no!
Think about it. You're not only in the final two, and this is like prior to final two. You're in the HOH competition to disperse. Yeah.
No, you're okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Keep going, Godfrey. Keep going. You're good.
You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Keep
going. Yeah, but what I'm basically saying is that you're not only, like, in the final two. You're pretty much, like, you know, in the final HOH competition, and you have all that anxiety going on. You're trying to think, who am I going to choose after? And on top of that, you're just about to break your word to somebody in the event that you do win that final HOH competition. So all these things going on in your head, it definitely clouds your judgment, because you're making a potentially... $100,000 or $500 in the U.S. case decision. So, like, you know, the last thing you're thinking about, trust me, is your speech. Still no excuse for doing what Liz did and basically just, like, mumbling basic nonsense. Like, you gotta have somewhat of a speech, but at the same time, I understand it is really stressful. Like, you know, you have a lot going on in your mind. You're thinking about this thing's done. You know, am I gonna win? Am I gonna lose? Is this person gonna be mad at me? So, yeah.
Now, that's funny that you bring that up, and we got a question from Braden Lauer, at Braden with a B, and he says, Liz's jury question responses were so blah. What did she need to convey to change jury votes? Is there anything Liz could have done, Neha?
Her answers were pretty much, I had a twin.
Yeah, fuck, she's... It's called elaborate. Like, she's done some stuff in the game. Like, she should have been like, you know what? I had a twin, but that put a target on my back. Why? She should have been like, if I was her, I would have been like, why the hell am I sitting in final two? You should have taken my ass out as soon as you found out I had a twin. There's no bigger bond than that of sisters. You know what I'm saying? So she could have said so much. She should have said, hey, I played the game with a big man like Austin, but he went out before I did. She won comps. And she should have named all that. She should have given examples. But this girl did not elaborate. She had no clue what she did, I don't think. I didn't really think she didn't know what was going on.
Godfrey, what did you think about that? Did that make you respect Liz's game a lot less after seeing how poorly she performed in that final two?
Like, honestly, I lost all respect that I had for Liz after that. Because I'm like, I've been in that final two scenario, and I know it's stressful, but at the same time, like, you know, you've had 71 days to prepare for that. And you guys know how it is in the Big Brother house. We have 23 hours of doing nothing, except for veto and HOH days.
Mm-hmm.
Could you not be writing your speech down, thinking about what you're going to say? Because the objective is to make it to the end. So I think if you're not, like, you know, writing down notes, keeping track of the things you're doing in the game, like, you don't have to be the most articulate person. And you can tell in Liz's case, it wasn't just a case of her not being able to articulate herself. You could tell she literally had not prepared. And from, like, my inside sources, I hear that Steve actually had been rehearsing his speech. Well, my inside source is the Life Eaters. But yeah, she had been rehearsing his speech for, like, days before that. Like, you know, waking up awkwardly at night, and they're like, oh, Steve, he's so weird. I wonder what he's doing. And the guy's rehearsing his speech that he's going to say if he wins, and that's before he even knew he was going to be in the final two. So, yeah, I definitely did lose a lot of respect for her, you know, and I just hope that future players, they keep this in mind and know that, like, you got to start thinking about this stuff from at least once you make jewelry. You got to start thinking about this stuff, man.
Neha, what did you think about Vanessa voting for Liz? With after Steve cut her, she was clearly a little bit bitter about that. But still, I mean, Liz did so bad. What was Vanessa doing there, Neha?
And that's some bullshit. Like, I think that you can't be bitter. Like, you have, I mean, you can, obviously, it's your choice, but it's ridiculous to me. Like, clearly Steve was better than Liz. But yesterday, Sarah made a good point that, which, it's kind of a good point that she thought that maybe Vanessa saw Liz in her. I don't really see that, but maybe she was, like, seeing that Liz kind of played a game alongside Vanessa, so she deserves a vote, but I don't think that's justified. I think that it was pure bitterness, and, like, if you're that conscious of what's going on in this game, I think that Vanessa was very conscious, then how do you do something like that? And I think that is bitterness. So, yeah, I don't respect that at all.
Interesting. Yeah, now, and I agree with you. I think that it was definitely bitterness, and I was not happy. However, at the same time, I was understanding in that if I myself had made it to the final three and I felt like, okay, I'm going to win this game hands down, and then all of a sudden I just got cut after working 24/7 for 98 days and I walk away with the same amount of money as 11th place, I'd be pretty bummed.
God, I read your tweet about that.
Yeah, right? Godfrey, what do you – let's throw it to you because you're somebody who was in this situation. If you're in the final two – if let's say Ashley beats you in that final two, okay, in that final two comp, she wins, she cuts you, and she takes Sarah. Is there any way you vote for Ashley?
Like, to be honest, like, oh, in that example you just gave, I'd vote for Sarah, you know, not because she actually cut me, but just because I think Sarah would have deserved it.
Okay, well, then let's flip it the other way around. Let's say Sarah won, okay, in an alternate reality. Sarah wins the final two HOH. She cuts you and she takes Ashley. Then what do you do?
Like, to be honest, I would still vote for her, you know, because, like, me, myself, I'm not really that vindictive. And, like, if I got out, I'll be like, hey, my game's done. That's it. Like, I'm thinking, like, now in the present, I'm thinking who deserves it between the two of them. And if she did cut me, first of all, if Sarah cut me, that would be a dumb move. Because if she took me, she would have won. So I would probably not vote for her just for that case to be like, hey, you made a pretty dumb move, yeah. But, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's two sides to it. I definitely understand Vanessa, where she was coming from. Like, you know, she just got cut. And on top of that, like Naya said, she was playing more alongside Liz and Julia, so probably she respected their game a bit more because, you know, she was, like, privileged to see them strategizing and all of that, whereas she didn't really get a chance to see what Steve's head was at a lot of the time. Like, she was just trying to manipulate Steve, but she didn't really know where Steve's head was at. And you could tell in the interview she had with Julie Chen, when she asked him, who are you going to vote for, she actually didn't know what the jury was going to vote for. So I think her vote, she voted the way she thought the rest of the people were going to vote. And she was probably more as surprised as Liz when Steve ended up winning.
No, absolutely, for sure. I think that probably had something to do with it as well. But you bring up some interesting points there. And yeah, it's a tough situation for Vanessa. I understand why she did it, but at the same time, it would have been great if we could have seen her vote for Steve. But regardless, doesn't matter. Steve's the winner of Big Brother 17. Yeah. No one's taking that away from him.
You can't really, like, shade Vanessa for that. You know, like, she, in the heat of the moment, like you said, like, your emotions are high. You don't have time to calm down. And we all know, like, Vanessa is, yeah.
Okay. Next question comes from at Don's Bread, and he wants to know, worst final two speech, Liz or Gina Marie? Neha.
Okay. All I want to say is I feel that we shouldn't even give time to this.
Thank you.
This person should not be talked about. Next question.
Oh, wow. Okay. Godfrey. Godfrey, any take on that?
Like, honestly, I think Jenna Marie had a better one. Like, at least Jenna Marie, you could hear what she was saying.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
Like, it was coherent. It made sense. Like, you know, even though, like, you know, as you're watching, as a viewer, or even as a player, you're like, come on, Jenna Marie, like, you're talking trash. You did not do anything. But at the same time, her speech kind of made sense, you know. And she really did. You could tell that she practiced her speech. So, like, you know, I'll give her kudos to that. Whereas Liz, she really didn't. Like, maybe she could have just gotten nervous, but I feel like she did not practice at all. I feel like she thought she had the vote, and she came in there, like, way too arrogant and figured, hey, I'm just going to kind of give some BS answers, and Austin's going to vote for me anyway. Julia's going to vote for me anyway. And she didn't know the mindset of everybody else. So, yeah, like, that one, it's going to go to Jenna Marie.
Interesting. Neha, why the hate towards Gina Marie so much?
Oh, well, why not? Like, I don't got time for that. Did you watch the season or what?
Okay.
Did you hear the words or what? I don't like that. I don't respect that, so I don't want to talk about that. No thanks.
All of you is a scrubs, Neha. You're just a scrub. I'm just going to not make you a chicken palm anymore. I'm just going to hang out with Nick.
She would have had some choice words for me, so, man. You know, that's it.
That would have been a showdown.
Neha versus Gina Marie. There's got to be a celebrity Big Brother a beatdown, like, boxing match show.
Yeah, bring it!
That actually would be entertaining. I think that would be a close one. All right, okay. This next question comes from Trevor Chong, at Trevor Chong, and he says, guys, who you got, Netta or Vanessa? Godfrey.
Oh, Netta, hands down, man. For the simple fact that she owned her moves, she was really, really, like, you know, emotionless. Like, that sounds like a bad thing, but yeah, like, she was really, like, she was just, like, cool, calm, and composed, and you didn't see her cry as much. And on top of that, John cut her, and she still voted for him. Like, you were talking about, well, Vanessa might be mad because she got cut. Now, think about it. If you're Netta, like, your boyfriend just cut you, yet she still voted for him. So I think that, like, strategically, man, like, Netta just played, like, a clean-cut game. Not to take anything away from Vanessa. Hey, like I said, she's, like, the best highlight reel player, but I got to give it to Netta.
Neha, what about you? You with Godfrey?
I'm with Godfrey for sure because, like, I mean, and in this case, like, I feel like, you know, Netta probably felt like she... you know, played John or John played her game, right? I think that's what she felt like. So the fact that she was able to vote for him in the end, like that's like kudos to her for that. So yeah, definitely Netta.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm team Neds. I love me some Netta Kalantar, but I think it's close. I mean, I think Vanessa played a great game, but I'm biased. I love Netta. I think she was my favorite player going into my season, and our season, and I think that she just is a phenomenal player, and I can't wait to watch her play again someday. Okay, Tyler Armijo, wow, that's a cool last name. He says, hey guys, has Daniel Reyes become criminally underrated? I've heard lots of Vanessa and Maggie being better than her lately. Neha, what do you think about that? Do you think Daniel Reyes is a little bit underrated now that we have people talking about Vanessa as one of the better female players to ever play this game?
Daniel Reyes is the best female player to ever play this game. So if she's underrated, people better get their facts right and start giving her some more credit. She's amazing. And I think the only reason why one would say that is because it's been like how many, it's been 10 years since we've seen her play, right? So now a lot of these viewers are probably younger and they're seeing the people like the Vanessa as the most more recent players. So that's the only reason they would say that. But if they were to go back and watch her seasons, they would see how amazing she was.
Godfrey, what do you think about that? And give me your top.
My question is, who is Maggie?
Exactly.
Like, Maggie, who is that?
Who's Maggie? Maggie, you don't know Maggie, Godfrey?
Like, for a minute, I thought you were talking about Meg. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This gotta be, like, a troll question.
Season six, Maggie.
Come on, man. Like, they in the same, they in the same lane, man.
No.
Daniel Reyes, like, definitely, like, one of the best ever, you know?
Do you think,
Naya said, because it's fresh in our minds, like, you know, we're kind of biased saying that, oh, Vanessa, because we just witnessed what she did, and it's fresh in our heads right now. But I think Danielle Reyes, and given her background, just like her educational background, like, she outclasses Vanessa by far.
Interesting. Okay, so do you think that beyond, so you guys agree that Danielle Reyes is probably the best female player to ever play this game. Where does Vanessa rank with her then in terms of female players? Is she top three? Is she top five? Is she lower than that? What do you guys think about that? Neha, where would you put Vanessa?
I'm just trying to think who would be in the top with her. She's definitely in the top there because, like, if you think about it, like, she did so much. Vanessa should have gone early, I think, just based on she's erratic and the way she's playing, and she's playing hard and she's winning comps, and, like, she should have been seen as a threat. So I think she made it a lot further than she should have, in the sense that people should have taken her out. So maybe it's either that she's really, really good, or it's that the people she's playing with suck. So, sorry, I don't mean suck, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she's definitely in the top five. I'm trying to think of who else is really, really good in terms of female players. But I think Rachel is really, really good. I think, Danielle Reyes is definitely number one. But yeah, Vanessa's definitely top five, I think, for sure.
Godfrey, what do you think about that?
Yeah, for me, I don't even like grouping, saying who's the best female and who's the best male. Like, I just like to look at them collectively, you know, because this is not something like soccer, where it's like, you know, guys have their own style. Like, it's the Big Brother game, you know? Like, it should just be, like, who's the best player overall? Because I think Danielle Reyes is better than a lot of male players.
Yeah.
By just saying, oh, who's the best female, I feel like we're actually kind of undermining her gameplay, saying that, you know, she's not, like, you know, she can't hang with the big boys. Let's compare her to the girls. So I think that, like, Vanessa and Danielle Reyes, we should be comparing them to Dr. Will and Dan. Because I think that they probably did a way better job than, like, hey, Dan Geeslin. I'd pick Vanessa over Dan, to be honest, man.
Wow.
So, like, you know, like, I really think that these girls, they're not just, like, the best females. Like, overall, they are in the top five, man, when you think about it.
That is a bold statement by Godfrey Manguiza, ladies and gentlemen. Vanessa is better than Dan Geesling. Am I crazy?
I absolutely do, man. Look at her. She had game control, man. Like, this girl ran it, whereas Dan, he played a more low-key game. Like, I'm talking about his first time around season 10.
Okay, so
he was kind of like the underdog, and then he came out. And then Vanessa, she was kind of a huge target from the start. And part of it, maybe that just the people she played with were lesser players, which I don't want to say that because I wasn't in the house myself. And, like, I don't know how each people perceived each other. But I really think, hey, I think she's better than Dan.
Wow.
I don't know, man. Dan, like, should have never been sitting in Final 2 in Season 4. There's no way. Like,
He didn't even stay half the game until he pressed the button.
They shouldn't have let him get that far. So,
they should,
like,
not.
But hold on. Let's hold off on Big Brother 14. Let's just talk about their first time around. Big Brother 10, Dan. Godfrey, you're saying that his first time, you think Vanessa played better on her first time than Dan played his first time.
Absolutely, hands down. Dan, I feel like Dan is more notorious because of his second time around, because the fact that he won and then he made it to Final 2 again. That's what really made Dan big. And the whole Dan's funeral and all the antics. He was more so of a really, like, entertaining player on his second time around. And he was, like, you know, the cutthroat guy. Whereas Vanessa, we've seen that, and this is Vanessa's first time playing the Big Brother game. And she played a game like an all-star. She was playing like somebody who's done this before. So even though, like, you know, like, I've been saying a lot about how Vanessa, like, you know, she didn't deserve to win the season. But, like, I'll still tell you right now, I think she's one of the best, hands down.
Interesting. You know what? I mean, I disagree with you, but I do see where you're coming from in that I mean, we were just talking about it, right? The parallels between this season and Big Brother 14. Vanessa kind of had Dan control over the season from very early on.
Oh, she did. Whereas Dan didn't really have control. He only had control over a couple of people, specifically that one girl. What's her name again? Danielle Mercury.
Yeah. But you know
what? Vanessa was controlling everybody.
Yeah.
She was mind controlling them, making them do things that, like, any rational human being with common sense would not do.
Like,
she must have had some secret potions in that house, man. Like, hey, they should have searched their bag before letting her in.
Yeah, no, I hear. I think probably the most impressive thing, and I don't know what you guys think. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say, but the thing that really impressed me the most about Vanessa's game was not only her control, but she got backdoored essentially, and she survived when Becky made the move to put her on the block next to Shelly, and Shelly ultimately went home instead of Vanessa, when clearly Vanessa was the
best. She should have gone that week. She should have gone.
She should have gone home.
Yeah.
Neha, okay, chime in here, because am I nuts for thinking that Godfrey's a little bit is either Godfrey's a lot higher on Vanessa than I am, or Godfrey's a lot lower on Dan than I am.
Hey, Chuck, I'm the biggest Dan fan ever, but just from watching the game, like, I rewatched the seasons over and over again, and I compared them to the other season, and I just, like, you know, like, it started to hit me. I'm like, there's all this hype around Dan. Rightfully so, because, yeah, the guy is an incredible player. But I'm like, when you really look at what he did, you're like, this guy wasn't even a target from the start, you know, on his first time around.
Well, he shouldn't have made
Final Two.
Well, he was a target right away, right? I mean, he was that alliance with Brian Hart, and then that blew up. And then he should have been left for dead. He throws that veto in week two, manages to survive while being on the block. And he really turned it around, kicked it in an overdrive. And I mean, I think he played a masterful game. I think Dan's game in Big Brother 10 was one of the best games ever. I think Vanessa played, don't get me wrong, Vanessa played a great game. I think maybe the thing is in which we differ, Godfrey, is that I think that if Vanessa were to own her game like Dan owned his game, I think a lot more people would be looking at Vanessa how you're viewing Vanessa. Do you agree with me, Neha?
Oh, exactly, yeah. Like, that's the only mistake she did. That's why I actually think, had she gone with Steve could have beaten her, because she didn't own her game. And, like, when, like, you've been a juror, you know that, like, you want somebody, especially if they've done you wrong, the least you want is for them to own up to it and say, hey, I got you out, I did it because of this. And you don't want them to dance around it and be like, I don't know, I really wanted to do the right thing. So, yeah, you know, that's her only flaw, which I think is more so, like, you know, of a personality thing. She's somebody who doesn't really want to – she still wants to play nice with people. But game-wise, I think her game is pretty much, like, Dan level. And I'll just leave you with this one question. Had Dan not won Season 10, would people still be talking about him now? And then contrast that to Vanessa, who didn't win this season – but I bet you people will still be talking about her, saying, man, she would have won. Would that be the same case with Dan had he not won his first season?
Okay, so you're saying that, and we're living in a hypothetical scenario in which Memphis wins the final.
Exactly.
He cuts Dan and he takes old man Jerry to the final team.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And Jerry wins.
Jerry, yeah. Screw you, people.
Would we still be talking about Dan, saying, man, that guy Dan, or would we have forgotten about him?
I don't think we would have forgotten about Dan. I do think that a lot more people would be talking about Memphis, which people do not do enough of.
But I
still think Dan would be remembered as one of these great players, and I think Dan probably would have gotten an invite for 14 and he would have done the exact same thing he did. Neha, it sounds like you agree with me.
I agree, and, like, I know we're talking about their first play, but, man, I can't get over what he did in 14. I know he's only played half the game, but he should have never been sitting in Final Two. Like,
no, not at all.
Like, that funeral, like, come on. Like, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that.
One of the most epic moments in the history of the game, Dan's funeral.
We need that kind of a moment. Like, someone's just, like, fucking, like, sorry, I shouldn't swear, I'm so sorry.
It's okay,
but, just someone to like pull like some shit like that. That should just not happen. Like, that's the kind of shit we want to see.
Now,
so yeah, that's it.
Okay,
that's
now it. This spring raises an interesting question that I want to ask you guys, and we'll end the best player sort of thing conversation here. And that is, you have one player you can choose to play the game for your life. Okay, you're gonna die if this person doesn't win. They're gonna go into Big Brother house. Everybody's memory is wiped, so they have no idea.
Any player,
they're going in the house right now without nobody knows who they are. It's just a bunch of strangers. You're putting one person in. They have to win for you to have your life. Godfrey, who would you choose? Is it Vanessa?
To be honest, I pick you, Jordan Palmer, man. If I have to rely, like, they're gonna play for my life.
Godfrey, shut the hell up! Seriously, you're not gonna pick me.
I'm serious, bro. Like, trust me. When I pick Steve, and I'm like, this guy's gonna win. The reason I picked him, I didn't just pick him by random. I'm like, this guy reminds me of Jordan Palmer. And if Palmer was in my, if he survived that eviction, I knew you were gonna shut shit up.
Oh, Godfrey, I love you, man. There's no way I was gonna win that game, but Big Brother US, my friend.
I'm telling you, man, like, dude, like, you and freaking Steve, you guys are like clones of each other. You're like a less socially awkward Steve, which would be an even plus.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't completely agree with that.
Yeah, like, you're underestimating yourself.
Yeah, give yourself more credit, dude.
No,
like, I have no idea how people were scared of you in the season. I was sitting in the hot tub, and I'm just asking people fun. I'm like, you know, I asked them individually. I didn't ask them at the same time. I asked people in the hot tub first, and I asked people in the kitchen. And I asked them, like, who did you trust the most on the first few weeks? And they're like, oh, Jordan. And then I go back upstairs, I ask people. I was expecting to get different answers, you know. I'm just like, you know, trying to pass time. And tell me how everybody who was in that final five, probably except for a bit. No, but it was final six at that time. Tell me how they all said JP was the one guy they trusted. And at that moment, that's when it dawned on me. I'm like, geez. I'm sure glad that guy left that house that night. Because we'd be dealing with something else right now, yeah.
Well, Godfrey, I'm glad that I left because, and that was very flattering of you. I appreciate it. I disagree with you, but I do think that, you know, I'm glad that that happened, that night happened when you did the Air Godfrey, because if there that didn't happen, the world would not have gotten Godfrey Manguica. I am worth sacrificing for Godfrey. You are worth sacrificing for, brother. So
I'll pick a JP type player, because I honestly believe it's my theory that, like, you know, players of your caliber, like, you know, of your background, like, nerdy kind of guy, like, I really feel like you guys have the best chance of winning Big Brother, as we saw with Ian Terry, we saw with Steve. And every time I see a nerdy guy get voted out, like, I know that had they gotten a chance to stay in, they actually could have won it, you know, as opposed to somebody like Jace, who I think if he comes back six more times, he'll go home pretty early.
Now,
so, like, you know, maybe I'm kind of biased, you know. You know how everybody's got their own type. Some people
right.
prefer
that's,
the player.
That's your type, though. Now, that's – and I remember the day – and I brought this story up to my pal Ronnie Talbot when I had him on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Oh, Ronnie! Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Ronnie – well, and I told Ronnie that he was one of your favorites, and that I remember on
definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, and on press day, Godfrey, you told me one of the best players was Ronnie, and that you're like, yo, man, Ron, that guy was good, y'all. So would you pick Ron? Would Ronnie be one of the guys you would pick if you had to pick someone for your life?
Absolutely, I pick Ronnie. You know, the way he balanced out that house, man, had two sides going at each other. They all thought he was part of the alliance. Like, you know, like, it was just like a beauty to watch. I'm like, man, I can't wait till they bust Ronnie. And then and then Russell has him hiding up in the HOH room for like the entire week.
Yeah, but Ronnie was good, man. I think Ronnie...
He was really good, man. He got over his head. He got way too over his head.
But yeah, he's a guy who I think was really underrated, and I think if he were to give it another go, he'd be very, very solid at the game. Okay, Neha, you got to pick someone for your life.
I'm picking the pioneer of Big Brother, the person who did it first, and the person who did it without any of this experience and whatnot, and that's freaking Dr. Will. Like, he didn't wipe our memories. Like, he's the pioneer of this game. This game wouldn't be where it's at if he didn't exist. We wouldn't have... Big Brother's popularity, I don't think, would be where it's at if we didn't have Dr. Will to do what he's done. So, 100%. I'm putting the life of my hands in the damn doctor.
He was one of the first all-stars.
Yeah, that's it. Godfrey, he was like the first all-star. I mean, unless you want to say Kent or Justin, the guy who tried to from BB2.
That's the first all-star.
I think Neha, I'm with you. I think if I had to pick one person to leave, if
you
I had to
leave my, my hands, you can't go wrong with
You can't go wrong with Dr. Will. I think Dan's got to be one of the people too. I'll, you know, just to throw someone out there, I'll say Dan.
What about Derek?
Derek too. I mean, those three, I think they're in a tier of their own.
Exactly. Dan, Dr. Will, Derek, like, you know, you can't go wrong with those guys.
No. Yeah, I think those guys are great. And one other person, and again, I'm biased because he's my favorite, but I think that if this guy played a legit season, I think Eric Stein would be one of the,
one of the best players ever.
Yeah, Eric Stein is a phenomenal Big Brother player, and I think that he got robbed the fact that we didn't get to see him play his own game, and I think that maybe one day we will get to see that. That would be incredible, but I don't know. I'm not holding out hope because it's been so long, but I would love, I would kill to see Eric play that game one more time. Okay, let's see. Let's keep rolling with the questions, guys. We got a couple more, and then we'll start winding things down here. We got this question here from Bets Booth, and she says, "Hey guys, is it stressful coming out of the house no matter how long your stay is?" Now, this is a good question because the three of us all were in there for different varying periods of time. And we, you know, we have one jury member, we have one sequester house member, and we have one final two member. So it's all very different. Godfrey, can you describe what it's like being thrown back into the real world after living in a house with a bunch of strangers for 70 days?
Man, like, it's almost difficult to put in words.
Like,
it's like you go through stages when you're in the house. I remember during the first few weeks, I was like, man, I can't wait to get out of this place. What have I gotten myself into? People were gunning for me. I'm like, I could be going home anytime soon. Then towards the middle half of the game, I was kind of like, man, I'm loving this, you know. Slop was done. I'm getting to eat some chicken feet for free. I'm just chilling, you know, the sleeping giant. I wasn't really doing much. I'm like, man, I'm having fun. I want to stay in this place forever. Then it got down to the nitty gritty. That's final four. We got to cut each other out. Then the anxiety starts to sink in. And then you make it to final two. And then at that point, all I was thinking was, man, I cannot wait to get out of this house because I had been in there for 70 days. And the less people you have in there, the more stressful it is because you only have them to talk to. So I was literally spending 48 hours, man, talking to Ashley about burping. And then I'll go and talk to Sarah, who really wasn't doing much talking, was crying. And, like, it's stressful, man. So when I got out, like, I was just, like, it was pure jubilation, man. I was just happy to be outside the house. Even though I hadn't won, like, it's something I've just been waiting to leave the place, you know. Because I was like, man, I want to see my family now. I've done the Big Brother thing. Like, you know, I want to see what life is, like, outside of it.
Interesting. Okay. So, Neha, let me throw this to you because yours is probably a little different. You were dying to get back in that house. You didn't get back in the house. How long? I mean, you had to have been so stressed watching it unfold on television, right? And how long did it take you to sort of get adjusted back to reality, into normal life? Or do you still feel kind of messed up by the whole thing?
Oh, I'm 100% not messed up by any means over it now. Like, it's, you know, it's like, it's a max 3 months of your life. and you know, we're all adults here, and you get, you know, you've had a life before Big Brother, and you'll have a life after Big Brother. So it's really, I think, really especially, important to understand.
Especially you, Neha, because I mean, let's be real, you're, a lot of us are degenerates. We don't really do anything or have jobs.
Yeah, exactly. You have a life. Yeah.
You actually do have a life. So.
Yeah, oh, thank you, but I think you all do, but in terms of the stress, like, I'll be honest, I wish on no one to leave the game pre-jury, to be honest, because and only if you're, I guess, like a real fan of the show, yeah. Because to sit at home and watch, like, the house that you were just living in, like, that freaking sucks, because, like, you just see, like, oh, frig, like, I had so much potential, and, like, my dreams are shattered, so it's, like, it's painful, it's, like, not even just, it's not stress, it's just painful to watch. I'll be honest, like, there were some episodes that I didn't even watch, like, I didn't watch the episode where I didn't get back into the house, because, like, fuck, like, you know, like, I don't want to see it, but, yeah, so you guys, make sure you make it to the final two, because...
Actually, like, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's interesting how you say that, like, it's really, like, because for you, you're thinking, man, I could have done this, and for me, I actually kind of had a similar feeling when I was in Final Two, and then after the winner is announced, and then you go back to bed, whereas, like, you, I don't have the privilege of thinking, well, if I had gone back inside, I could have done that, because I'm like, oh, Godfrey, you already did everything. You were in there for the entire time. So, like, you know, like, trust me, I wish Final Two upon nobody as well, unless you actually win.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a good 20 grand, you know, but, like, it still has some level of regret. And it's worse because you feel like I've already played the entire game, and I have no one to blame but myself for the things that I did. Whereas I feel like had I gotten out a bit earlier, I could still kind of go back home and be like, you know what? I would have totally won if I went to Final Two. But now I can't say that because I'm like, oh, dude, you were in Final Two. So it's like tricky, man. It's like tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can be the first member of the jury and, again, then get voted out by the jury. thanks, Godfrey.
And I thought I had it bad.
and then you can realize, oh, wait, yeah, there was no chance I was going to win that game anyway. And then you kind of just, you're just, like, happy and move on with your life, similar to me. No, it's interesting hearing your guys' perspective on it, because everybody's different. And thank you, Betts Booth, for asking that question, just because I think that it's going to be tough for these guys coming out of the house. And for you guys listening to this podcast, be very supportive of these people on social media. I know some people don't really like Austin and some other people.
Oh, yeah.
But don't, you know, if you don't like them, just don't tweet them. You don't have to tweet them. Just leave them be. They're going to get enough.
No hate mail.
Yeah, don't send people hate.
One second, I just want to shout out Betts Booth, because Betts Booth is a real great friend of mine now on Twitter, and she is really supporting Indulgence Truffles. So thank you, Betts Booth. You're a great customer.
There
you
go.
Love you, Betts Booth.
And Neha, let's this podcast, the reality TV happy hour, is brought to you by Indulgence Truffles.
Yes.
If you want to get some Indulgence Truffles, Neha, where can people go to get some of those?
Well, you guys can go to www.indulgencetruffles.com, or you can find us on Instagram at indulgencetruffles, or you can tweet me at NehaSBBCan3, and I will direct you to where you can order them.
Boom, there you go. And I've actually had them firsthand. Godfrey, have you had some?
Oh, bro. Like, every time I meet Neha, I'm like, hey, you better have those chocolates on deck.
They are freaking good.
Especially the triangle-looking ones. Like, oh, those are the bomb.
Those are amazing. And then, like, the circular ones that have, like, they're, like, white and pink. I don't know what you call those ones, Neha, but those ones, or maybe they're just pink. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I like the round ones too. Like, I really like the round ones.
They're also good. Yeah, you guys, definitely check those out. That's indulgencetruffles.com. Indulgencetruffles.com. Okay. Let's move on to, let's see. Let's take one more question. It's from the great live feed correspondent for robiswebsite.com. That's Taryn Armstrong at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter. And he says, where does Steve fall in the winner rankings, guys? Where would you guys rank Steve? Neha, where would you put Steve in your overall winner ranks?
Okay, shit. So, one and two and three are obviously Dan, Dr. Will and Derek. So he's not in the top three, I don't think. What other winners do we have that are worth? Oh, Ian's up there too. Shit.
We have Rachel, Jordan.
Rachel. I don't know about Jordan, but like Rachel's definitely amazing. She's in the top five, I think, for sure. I mean, I think maybe Steve, I'm going to throw him like after top five, to be honest.
Interesting. Okay. Godfrey, what about you?
I'm going to go mostly for past season 10 because, like, I'm having trouble remembering, like, all the season 1 to 10. So, like, if I'm going past season 10, like, you know, the 7 seasons, man.
Shit, sorry. I forgot Evil
Dick.
Don't forget Evil Dick, man.
Evil Dick's in there. Mike Boogie's in there. Lisa Donahue's in there. I mean, Maggie's in there. There's some good winners. There's a lot of winners.
Like, he's definitely one of my favorite winners, but if I had to, like, break down game-wise, like, you know, I really don't think he'll place that high amongst the other winners.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he played a kind of one-dimensional game, you know? Whereas past people, we've seen them kind of adapt, go from a comp beast to a social player.
Andy Heron, guys. Yes, of course, Andy.
Andy is one of the best winners.
Yeah, see, like Andy, like I feel like Andy, he really played a versatile game. Like, we really saw him go from being, what's that girl's name again? Amanda's pet, to actually being his own man and, like, kind of like playing his own game. So I think he was more versatile, he was more adaptable. And, like, I just feel with Steve, you know, we didn't really get to see him adapt that much. We just saw, like, a straightforward, one-dimensional, chill, go to the end, cut the biggest threat, and pick up the check. So, yeah. It was not the most exciting game to watch.
Okay.
Yeah. A worthy winner, just not, like, you know, the most exciting game.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you, for sure. And I think that that's a lot of people will probably agree with you there, Godfrey. Okay, guys. Well, now Big Brother 17's over with, so that's a wrap, guys. I mean, pretty great season. I enjoyed it. Where, in terms of, and we can, I'll pose the same question to you. Why not? In terms of seasons, where would you guys put this one? Is this in your upper tier? Is it near the middle? Is it down towards the bottom?
Oh, for season, it's in my upper tier, definitely. Like, we saw, like, the most, some of the best characters. Like, think about even people who went home early, like, say, Vaughn. And I actually think in another season, they could have won those seasons, man. So, like, I think that this season had the most gameplay I've seen in a while.
I agree with you, Godfrey. Neha, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely by far, I think the best personalities we saw, like one of the best seasons in terms of personalities. Yeah, pre-jury, these characters, like, I'm obsessed with Devon and Jason and Audrey and them. But, my favorite season of all time of life and probably will ever be, and that's season 6, and I don't think anything could ever in life compare to that season. I am just dying to see another season 6, but we gotta go old school Big Brother for that.
Yeah, well, hey, Ronnie and I talked about that. We said they should just do season 6 over again. That would be the 100%, best season ever. Yeah,
100%.
It'd be amazing. I think that for me, I think that this season is kind of, I mean, there's been a lot of good seasons. I think I'd probably put this one towards the middle, but I think that's a good thing because I am big on nostalgia. I love a lot of the older seasons. So I think that the fact that this one's kind of in the middle is great. And something I forgot to mention earlier, I don't think I did, was my all-star people from this season. If I had to pick two other than the ones that Neha and Godfrey said, would be the great Jason Roy and my boy James. I think James is great. And I think that those guys will both be excellent on another season. So Big Brother 17's in the books. Big Brother Canada 4, that's what's next. It's on deck. And it's coming up pretty soon here. So I guess it's they say spring, early spring.
BB Can 4.
Guys, what do you want to see from Big Brother Canada 4? Neha, let's throw it to you. What do you want to see on Big Brother Canada 4?
I propose this to the players of Big Brother Canada 4. I hope you're all listening. Please play the game and get some damn blood on your hands and don't be scared. And take our advice and take out the people who you think are weak first.
Amen.
Because because let me tell you, there's no such thing as a weak player, I think, in Big Brother, because at the end of the day, when you get to Final Six and Final Five,
everybody's a strong player.
Everyone's going to win a comp, or everyone has the ability to win a comp because you're competing against us players. Also, if you've watched our season and you've watched previous Big Brother Canada seasons, a lot of these competitions are not based on mental ability and physical strength. They are random. Therefore, anybody has the opportunity to win, even someone who appears to be weak to you. Therefore, that is why I say there is no such thing as a weak player in this game. So take out the people that appear, and I say that with in quotations, appear to be weak, because those are the people that other people are going to say, hey, I want to sit beside him or her in Final Two. And keep the stronger players in the game who will be a target in front of you. Now, everybody can't adopt this, so the three or four of you who are listening right now, adopt this and use this strategy or whatever the hell you want to call it in Big Brother Canada 4, because on top of that, we want to see entertainment. We want to see players who are going to ruffle feathers, who are going to talk some damn shit and not be scared to make
mistakes.
Because imagine those players that go pre-jury who have an attitude and who are ready to cut some throats. They would give you an impeccable amount of entertainment. So please think about that.
And if you do happen to get on Big Brother Canada 4 and you do listen to this podcast and you use that strategy and you win, just tweet.
Pay Jordan Pauhart $20.
No, don't pay me $20. Pay Neha $20 in Niagara Falls next year and tweet out that Neha's amazing and that she helped you win Big Brother. So there you go, Neha. I agree. And especially if you're a weak player, get rid of the other weak players, because if you're surrounded by, or at least somebody who's perceived as a weak player, so like a Godfrey, right? Godfrey was not a weak player, but people perceived him as weak. As soon as other weak people start to leave, then Godfrey is really the only quote-unquote weak player left, and everybody else says, hey, well, why would I go for Godfrey? He's the only weak person left. I'm going to go for some of these other strong people, and then you end up, and you can make it to the final two and make some moves.
Absolutely.
No one's going to know what you're doing. Godfrey, your advice for anybody playing Big Brother Canada 4, or something you would like to see, some twists maybe you would like to see on Big Brother Canada 4, or no twists you'd like
to see. No twists! Old school Big Brother, please!
You both of you guys took the words right out of my mouth. Get rid of the weak player first. You see a nerdy kid who looks like JP. You see some girl with glasses who looks like she works at a weed shop. You see some black dude who keeps talking about chicken feet and ridiculous stories. Watch out for those people, man. Like, seriously, get them out right away. And definitely don't keep the chiropractor, man. You don't want her in that house. But yeah, as far as twists go, like, honestly, I didn't like the twist at first because I thought they took away, like, the social aspect of the game. But at the same time, I'm realizing that the game is changing, you know, and, like, the fan base is changing. And, like, the twist seemed to get, like, a good reception from the new age audience that watches Big Brother. So, hey, like, if it keeps viewers coming back in, then I say more twists. But if the viewers say, hey, we don't want to see the twist, like, take them out, man, because at the end of the day, it's a show for the people. It's not just for the players. It's for the people to watch, and I'm speaking as a fan right now. Like, you know, it's just got to be, like, a good balance. Like, it's got to be a perfectly timed twist. Not a random, oh, yeah, you guys going to be the Wax Street Boys today. That ain't a twist.
Yeah, for real. I'm with you.
All right. Well said, Godfrey. Well said. Okay. Well, before we – last final thing. I've been teasing this a lot that we're going to wrap up, but I forgot about one thing, and that is – the infamous tweet, Godfrey. So I have my Twitter open right now. I am going to tweet whatever you want me to tweet. So have you come up with some ideas? Neha, maybe you want to help Godfrey out. What should I tweet right now? You have 140 characters.
Oh, man. This is like a good opportunity, Godfrey.
You could say vote Godfrey Manguiza for prime minister. You could say, I mean, hey, I actually legitimately, I was talking to Kevin the other day. I actually I might do that, write Godfrey in as a write-in candidate. But I don't know. Whatever you want, Godfrey. I could tweet.
I'm telling you, man, just tweet that Godfrey. After Steve win, I've come to realize that you are in fact the greatest player to ever play this game. In the history of Big Brother, You are now officially in my top three. The other two being Victoria and Gina Marie. And on a side note, I would love to take Monica Padilla out on a sandwich date.
Yo, tweet her.
Okay, Godfrey, are you not? You're in love with Monica Padilla as well. Isn't Monica Padilla amazing? Oh my gosh, I love her.
I picked Monica.
I think Monica has a boyfriend, but I love Monica.
My sources tell me that. I
actually was tweeting Kelly Wentworth the other day. And I said, hey, Kelly, just want to let you know that I, as a fellow friend of Rob as a podcast from the Pacific Northwest, good luck on Survivor this season. I'm sure you're going to kill it. And then she retweeted it and said, or she quoted it and said, she said, I heart RHAP, I heart Canada, therefore I heart Jordan. And now.
Oh, quick, your favorite.
Yes. So now I framed that on my wall and I'm going to keep that down forever. So Kelly Wentworth says that she loves me. So I don't know. Maybe I don't need Monica Padilla anymore, but that's amazing. Okay. So Godfrey, Godfrey, you want me to say that you are the best player of all time. Or you're the best player of all time. Victoria is number two and Marie is number three. Okay, I got you. I will. I'm going to tweet this right after the show finishes, and I'm sure I'm going to get lots of hate for this and lots of people unfollowing me. But hey, that's okay. Why not? But thank you guys so much for joining me, Neha, Godfrey. You guys are awesome. I love talking Big Brother with you guys. I think that this is a really good panel, and hopefully we can keep the pair of you guys going in the future when we talk about BB Can 4 and some of this other stuff. I'm sure we're going to be talking about down the road. So thank you so much for joining me. Neha, Godfrey.
Oh, I loved it, man.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you. Great show.
Thank you so much. Neha, before we get out of here, anything you want to plug?
I already plugged it, and I will shamelessly plug it again. Everyone, buy my chocolates. They're absolutely amazing. No, I'm kidding. Everyone, I hope that you guys are having a great time. Yeah, buy my chocolates. Go see your local chiropractor because, you know what, like, your backs are really, really important. And everybody watch Survivor now.
Yes, mm-hmm. Survivor. Oh my gosh. You guys are both watching the season?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm gonna
watch
it.
My boy, Woo for the win.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! All right. Godfrey going for Woo. I'm excited. All right. Well, I'm actually still going to be pot. And for those of you who did not check out my Survivor draft this past Saturday with Johnny, Sarah, and Kevin, I highly recommend you check that out. But I will be doing podcasts throughout the off season talking about Survivor. So not every single week, but I'm planning on doing one show every Saturday. Hopefully it's going to continue to be a live show. And I'm going to be talking. My plan is 1 week I'm going to do Survivor. The next week it's going to be an off season Big Brother discussion. So hopefully that'll go throughout the season. And that way I'll give you some bonus content on robiswebsite.com if you're still looking for that. I've had such a fun time podcasting with everybody, and it's been great. And thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in all season long. I really do appreciate it. Godfrey, before we get out of here, anything you want to say? Some final thoughts?
Buy Neha's chocolates. Don't forget to get yourself a t-shirt. Help stop bullying.
Oh, yes. Buy those t-shirts. Check out our Twitters.
Exactly. Proceeds go to charity. And you're going to look fresh in your audition video, too. So that's like
a cool one. Wear it at the – okay, and everybody, Godfrey and myself are going to be in Toronto on October 24th. It's a Saturday. I think it's at the Metro. I'm not sure. Somewhere in Toronto for the live auditions. So when you guys come, make sure you say hello to us. Buy my shirts. Proceeds go to bullyingcanada.ca. They're $20 plus $10 shipping in Canada. Email teamneha@gmail.com. And then, wear your shirts at the live audition.
All right.
When Jordan sends his tweet, don't forget to retweet the hell out of that. Retweet, screenshot, put it on Instagram, man. You will never forget this moment.
Can you change the number three person, and then I'll retweet it.
Okay, for number three, I'll give this one to Nair, yeah.
No. Ooh, okay. Neha's getting some say in the tweet. Okay.
So. So we're doing Godfrey,
Victoria's two, and then who's three?
I feel like everyone's. I think everyone who plays Big Brother is a good player. So, like, I think that, you know, it's gonna be a real hard choice. Oh God. I don't know. I can't decide.
You can't decide.
It has to be someone, and it just can't be her.
Okay, Jerry.
Done. Old man Jerry it is. Perfect.
Old man Jerry.
There you go. Old man Jerry. Okay.
Imagine that final three, man.
Godfrey,
Victoria, old man Jerry.
Epic.
I would love that.
Oh my gosh, man. That would be amazing. Old man Jerry. Oh, man. Oh, whew. Oh man, I love talking to you guys.
And Chuck Costa, yo, how could I forget?
Oh, it's Mama J. So you want?
Yeah, you better put Mama J in there. You better put Jocasta in that, man.
Okay, so Jocasta, not Old Man Jerry.
Yeah. Scratch Old Man Jerry, yo. Okay. Like, I think that he's past the age limit to play Big Brother. So yeah.
So Jocasta, okay, Jocasta, it is. Okay, so Jocasta.
My two favorite girls, Jocasta and Victoria.
Jocasta and Victoria. That's amazing, man. Oh, okay. Whew, all right, final announcement, guys. So don't forget to tune in to the Reality TV Happy Hour this Saturday. I'm going to be talking some Survivor premiere with Haley Strong of the Reality TV Rehapups Network. So she does the Bachelorette podcast normally. So her and I will be talking sort of some Survivor this Saturday. We'll be live at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune into that. Also, I promoted all season long that I wanted people to leave reviews for the podcast to help it grow. And at the end of the season, I was going to draw one name out of a hat, and that person was going to win a 30-minute Skype call with me. And those were of all the people that left ratings and reviews. And I do have the lucky winner, and it is DaviPaw411. So DaviPaw411, congratulations. You have won this interview with me, or not interview, this talk with me, 30 minutes. We can talk about whatever you want. Now, I don't know. I threw these on a hat. I don't know if DaviPaw is going to want to speak with me because his rating was 2 stars, and he said the title was boring, and he said, quote, not a very good podcast. Host is rather bland, and although sometimes enthusiastic, I find him dismissive of any other points of view. So, well,
I cannot wait to see that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, DaviPaw411, if you are still listening to the show, if you're not tired of me being boring, you have one, reach out to me and we can have our 30-minute Skype call. It'll be good. Hopefully you don't hate me too much. But if you do, hey, I understand. I'm not the most likable dude there is in the world. Yeah. So thank you guys, everybody, so much for listening, supporting me. Thank you so much to Rob Cesternino for giving me this platform. Finished my first season podcasting of a reality TV show. Big Brother 17 is in the books, and I am so happy with how everything went. I had so much fun, had so many great guests this season, and I'm so excited to keep podcasting some more and seeing how this podcast grows. So thank you again to everybody. I really do appreciate it. Godfrey and Neha, especially you guys. You guys are the first two – actually, no. You're not the first two-time guests on the show, but you're the first two-time guests on the Big Brother podcast, so we'll give you guys that. But thank you very much. I really do appreciate it once again. We need a hashtag for this show, guys. So what do you guys want the hashtag to be? I was thinking hashtag swipe right for Godfrey. What do you guys think?
Right now, man, I got that Tinder account coming in.
All right, well, ladies of North York, look out, because Godfrey Manguiza is on the prowl. He's got his Tinder set up. So, all right, well, to all the true believers out there, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. For Godfrey Manguiza and Neha Sareen, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag swipe right for Godfrey. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.